Alabama and Tennessee's News Talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know what that means when we're on Wednesday. We had the camel plane at the beginning of the show, but come up around the 4 o'clock hour, we got a thing we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio who've been doing this longer than I have, and we just do a round robin of questions, pinging each other to see where we stand. So let me just call the roll, see if we got a quorum. I'll look south first from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the 1819 News Editor-in-Chief. That would be Jeff Poor. Are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Glad of it. All right, looking north to Huntsville. I'm looking at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting's host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, he does a whole lot of stuff with Yellowhammer and even has a gig on TV. Dale Jackson, are you there?
Oh!
All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right. Hey, before we get started, I have to go ahead and honor a moment this week and point out that Dale Jackson had a colonoscopy, and for the first time in recorded memory, he was not full of crap. So that's
waka 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 waka.
You so deserve that. You know it's true. And in honor of your clean as a whistle moment there, I'm giving you the first question. What do you got?
Another guy who's full of crap, Mark Milley.
Yeah,
he found himself on the end of a Donald Trump revenge tour, which I don't know if it's even bad to do this. But he said, hey, look, you spent the last part of my presidency working with the Red Chinese, and then you spent the next 4 years trying to put me in jail.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I punish you, take your security clearance away and your security away as well? And you know what? I might demote you a little bit. You can't go to war with the president of the United States and lose and expect there to be no penalty. He's not going to shake your hand and say good game and call it a day. That's how this is going to work.
Yeah,
what is Milley thinking complaining about?
And here's the interesting dynamic here. This is one of the recipients of the illustrious preemptive pardon from Joe Biden. Well, you don't have to have any concerns about a pardon to revoke a security clearance. That's in the power of the presidency. And what happens with these generals so often is they leave office or leave their positions in the military, and they get scarfed up working on, you know, sometimes secret and top secret projects, making big money with the defense industry. He will no longer have clearance level to be able to work on those projects, which means it just limited his retirement income. And then dropping a star, that also limits his retirement income.
He's just going to be a pundit anyway.
Yeah, he's, you know what? He may wind up being a pundit, but he's on MSNBC. I doubt if they're going to have him on Fox. And if they do, it's going to be as the beater boy. But we'll see. Jeff, your thoughts on Milley?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's to be expected. I think that's true across the board for a lot of never-Trumper types who, you know, picked a fight with Trump. But I guess they miscalculated this. The left and permanent Washington miscalculated this to such an extent that I don't think they had a plan B. But now, you know, you and I talked about this all throughout the campaign. You look at Kamala Harris. I mean, was that where you were going to put all of your future and all of your future earnings predicated on her winning the presidency, and Donald Trump not coming in, taking away security clearances, firing people, and wrecking your career? I mean, I think they should have maybe moderated a little bit, but they never would.
Well, they totally underestimated the American people. They thought that lawfare would get him. They thought that they could just crush his soul. They thought they'd bankrupt him, and then somebody thought they'd shoot him. But the reality is, they totally underestimated the American voter, and now he's back. And yes, Mr. Four-Star General, who called China and who, you know, spoke out against the commander in chief and who presided without ever resigning over the debacle in Afghanistan, you're going to lose your clearance. And it's just too bad for your luck. Any further thoughts on that, Dale?
Well, I just think it's kind of silly that, like Jeff said, you're banking on all this stuff with Kamala Harris. And they just thought they could walk away from it all because that's exactly how things have worked before.
Yep.
Times have changed. Vengeance is here, baby.
Make retribution cool again. All right, so let me take one here. I saw this story you guys did on 1819 about the Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts. So I don't get it. This is a crazy story, but the bottom line is the Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts apparently had a billboard that had a picture, a backdrop picture of the, you know, Bloody Sunday events and the Civil Rights Movement. And right over the top of it were the words, "Make America Great Again." And apparently it's freaked everybody out, and they're having a called special board meeting to attend to the issue. And I don't understand. What the heck, Jeff? What is going on down there with the museum?
Well, they had a special board meeting. They denied our reporter entry. But we tend to think, we believe this, they violated the Open Meetings Act. They can't do that because they are a public facility. They take money from, you know, the state, from the county. So we think they violated the law by denying our reporter entry. But I would just say this. I don't know what went on behind closed doors and why they chose to go this route, but there are some rumblings there, and I don't know what's going to happen. They're going to fire somebody or what, but it's not going to go unnoticed. It's not going to go missed. And this was a gross overreach by the Montgomery Museum of Fine Art.
So were they, let me ask you this, were they slighting Trump by doing it this way, or were they aligning themselves with Trump by doing it this way?
Come on. I mean, you don't use the Selma imagery in such a way without, you could make the argument either way, but you're not going to convince me that a bunch of probably liberal museum curators or interns or whoever thought this was a good idea weren't thinking negatively toward Donald Trump.
What you think, Dale?
No, exactly right. I mean, that's exactly right. They were thinking, okay, how can we rub this in the face of well over half of the constituency here in this area and try to make a political statement? Look how clever we're being. We're smart. Aren't we smart? Look how smart we are. Oh, wait, they caught us? Oh, man, that was an accident. Sorry.
Is it only one billboard, or is there a bunch of them?
There's a bunch of them.
Defund them. I mean, anything they get from taxpayer dollars should be stripped at this point. It's ridiculous.
We know of one on Highway 80 between Selma and Montgomery, but there's a bunch of others, we are told.
Holy cow. All right, Jeff, your question. What do you got?
Hey, I'm a little underwhelmed by the Democrat response thus far to everything Donald Trump is doing. It's the same tired playbook. None of this stuff has worked. It didn't work with the November 5th election, but yet they're doing the same thing. Pretend you're a Democrat for a moment. What would you tell them to do to counter the Donald Trump's movement at this rate of speed?
You know, it's funny you say that, because I heard Britt Hume the other night. He had a great commentary, just very kind of dry wit. And he said, you know, here's an idea, fellas. Before you start screaming about something, why don't you go ahead and make sure it's one of those things that's not real popular first? And because it's like they're yelling into a room full of Trump supporters constantly, trying to make that make a difference. And racism doesn't work, and fascism doesn't work, and he's going to defund granny and do away with Medicaid and crush the American soul doesn't work. What would I do if I was a Democrat? I think what I'd be doing is begging for some of the idiots to please shut up and let us get our feet under us and try to find an agenda that we can get something accomplished and point to. But right now, you're right. I mean, it's been tepid. They're on their heels. They don't know what to do. I don't think they ever saw it starting off this fast. I think they knew it was going to happen, but they didn't know it was going to happen in the first week. Dale?
All you have to do is look towards Alabama. You got the mayor of Birmingham tweeting about the price of eggs because he's an imbecile and can do no better. You have Tabitha Eisner, the number two Democrat in the state, tweeting about her wedding ring needing to be fixed, which is a metaphor for infrastructure, which is completely insane. I'm going to read it to you guys. Infrastructure is everything. My wedding ring kept breaking. Jeweler said we could save the stones, but the platinum structure had to be completely replaced, save what's still beautiful. There's a lesson there for the Democratic Party. Wait, no. It's better. In Montgomery, we have less public transit now than we did at the time of the bus boycott. Senator Linda Coleman has filed SB 11, a bill that adds $5 to the annual cost of vehicle registration to fund Alabama Transportation Trust Fund, currently not funded at all. I mean, these people are just lost. They're at the same thing. Tax more, build. They give us money. They're completely lost. They have nothing to say nothing to do with
it. You know, one of the only examples I've seen in the last few years of the Democrats in Alabama grabbing hold of something that actually made sense and made good inroads was Representative Anthony Daniels with his overtime tax cut. And that actually made sense. He came on my show. I had people texting going, are you sure he's a Democrat? He's certainly a Democrat. But that one thing, they're going to have to find an issue that actually gets them back into the good graces of what I would call the more populist and, oh, by the way, majority base. But your own question, Jeff, what are you thinking?
Oh, it's simple. You got to make it personal. You got to bait Trump into doing something dumb. Talk about the size of his penis or something and get him roll. I mean, I think you've got to get him off message, off script, and that moves him away from what he's doing now. They're not doing that. They're going with the stupid, I don't know, Project 2025, as if anybody knows what the hell that is. So I just watch this every day. I have all three cable news channels on. I know the playbook, and they're just doing the same thing. It's not going to work.
Well, and on that anatomical note, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break. So, all right, round one, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. We call it the Grand Council. We'll take a break. We'll come right back and figure out what other parts of the anatomy we can talk about. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Going right back with round two of the Grand Council. First question, round two, Dale Jackson, what you got? Did we lose Dale? Dale, unmute yourself. Is he muted?
I think he is.
Sorry about that. My wife is a federal government employee, and I have no respect for her. I do respect government employees greatly, and a lot of them have been told to go back to work, and they're all saying, well, this is undignified. How can you treat us this way? And I just wonder, why do they think they're so damn special? If your boss tells you to go back to work, go back to work. If you don't want to be there, quit. Now they're offering you pay until September. Stop complaining about it.
They are. They're actually, in fact, it's up on the screen right now. I'm looking at it. Trump's offering 8 months worth of buyouts to get federal employees to resign and go to the House or retire early or go get another job and take the cash.
Can I tell you what the general perspective is from the government employees that I know?
Please do. Yes, absolutely.
It's basically this. Only the dumbest people amongst us would take this deal. So please, I hope they do. That is the general perspective.
Well, but at the same time, so the go back to work thing. Listen, it's okay. First of all, you're on the taxpayer dime. I get that there's times when the Teams meeting might work. I get that there's times when Zoom might actually help you be more productive because you don't have to travel across the nation for a meeting. But that's not the way the taxpayers expect you. People want you to have an air of professionalism in what you do. You get up in the morning, fix your bedhead, get out of your flannel pants, and actually go to the office and be there on time and work for the government dime. And there's a lot to be said for that. It's, like I said, it's professionalism, it's excellence, it's big boy rules. So I say, yeah, thank God he finally. I mean, I can't believe they were still out, and we had whole buildings we're paying leases on that were just empty. Jeff,
I know Huntsville's a federal town. I know there's a lot of federal workers, but all those years I lived in D.C., knowing some of the bureaucrats, drinking with them and talking to them. I mean, there was a real sort of pseudo-intellectual elitism. They're the ones who make things happen. It's people like where I grew up in Alabama that ruined it for. I mean, there was just this weird mentality that this is where things happen. It's not even politicians. You guys out in Flyoverland just don't get it. There's an arrogance, and I think that's across the board within the federal bureaucracy, and that's why you're getting so much pushback. Like, well, you don't really know what I do. You don't know that I can't do my job from home. How dare you, sir?
Well, you know, and the worst offenders, the Department of Energy and the Department of Agriculture. The Department of Energy had 0% of their overall employees, thousands, 0% who were in the office 5 days a week. Zero.
And on top of that, the people we're talking to right now, in off WVNN and in Chattanooga, I'm telling you right now, those people, yeah, they're kind of annoyed that they have to go back to work, but I think most of them understand it.
They get
it. The problem is the professional bureaucracy in D.C. You referenced that, but that's where the problem is.
Yeah, yes, I agree. But it's also,
did you see the question Michael Strahan was asked?
It's a leadership issue, though. What?
Michael Strahan? Did you see the question? Michael Strahan asked a question to the press, new press secretary, and said, well, what about all these doctors and scientists? Aren't they going to quit if they have to go back to work? And the press secretary said, what doctors and scientists are working from home?
And here's
these people have no idea what they're talking about.
Here's the other thing. How do they work with security clearance issues? If they can't be, I mean, every department has security clearance issues and they can't do secure internet, CIPRNet at home. How do they, what have they been doing for the last 4 years? Anyway, it's, get back to work and yeah, quit complaining. Real quick, let me ask you guys, DEI by another name, is it still DEI? And is the state legislature going to, I'm talking state now, is state legislature going to put a little bit of scunion on some of these organizations that are trying to pretend they're not doing DEI anymore? Dale?
City of Huntsville is trying to change theirs back to the Multicultural Affairs Department. I'm telling you, that is the quickest way to have the state government come down and drop the hammer.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that is the quickest way.
UAB? UAB is just a classic DEI offender. Jeff, what do you think? Are the state legislature going to do something about it? Did we lose Jeff?
They got to. There's no teeth in the mechanism they have now. The divisive consensus law is garbage. I think there's a lot of talk, and we'll test it. What happens? Nobody goes to jail. They're not going to, you know, so the Magic City Acceptance Academy is where the line in the sand's going to be drawn, and we'll see what the Alabama legislature does there. I think that they will do something just because they're realizing this is a problem. But number two, Donald Trump's just making it look easy, and they should be making it look easy, too, with supermajorities and statewide constitutional officers in every office.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I think that they don't. Then they've just shown who's really in charge. If that's the case, then the bureaucrats win and the legislature can pass laws and people don't have to do anything because it doesn't mean much. And that's the, I mean, listen, they got to fix it because DEI by any other name is still DEI. And we are actually out of time right now. So, fellas, appreciate you both. Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and 1819 News. And just little old me, we call it the Grand Council. Coming up, I got text messages to catch up on, and we'll talk about some other stuff happening around the world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.